boots on the ground in Iran. Are you afraid of a U.S. invasion in your country?
No, we are waiting for them.
You are waiting for the U.S. military to invade the ground troops?
Yes, because we are confident that we can confront them, and that would be a big disaster for them.
So you're saying that Iran is ready and willing to take on the U.S. military if there were to be ground troops?
Well, we were ready for this war even more than the previous war. So you can see, the quality of our missiles, how much they are upgraded after the last war, because we learned lots of lessons. And we are prepared for any other eventuality, even, a ground invasion. So our soldiers are prepared for any scenario. When I said that we are waiting for them, it didn't mean that we are waiting for continuation of the war. No, but we have prepared ourselves to confront with any scenario, with any eventuality, any possibility, and we know that we can handle that.
Are your allies Russia and China helping you?
Well, they are supporting us politically and otherwise.
This is my video update on this Friday midday, March the 6th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with Zelensky threatening Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. This happened yesterday as Zelensky was speaking to his staff, upset about Orban's veto of the EU 90 billion euro loan to Ukraine. And so Zelensky, he threatened Orban. Either you lift your veto on the 90 billion euros, or else I'm going to send some of my military goons to deal with you. That was the threat from Le Goblin Ver. Now, Orban, he is not going to lift the veto unless Zelensky gets the Druzhba oil pipeline back up and running. Zelensky claims that the pipeline has been damaged and it cannot operate. And he refuses to repair it. So Orban is saying, okay, if we can't get the Druzhba back up and running, then I am not going to approve the 90 billion euro loan, if you want to call it a loan. So let me read you what Le Goblin Ver said at this staff meeting as he threatens the Prime Minister of Hungary. Hungary is an EU member state. Hungary is a member of NATO. Ukraine is not an EU member state, and Ukraine is not a member of NATO. So Kiev's standoff with Budapest escalated even further after Zelensky openly threatened Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban. Earlier in the day, the Ukrainian leader demanded Orban lift his veto of a proposed 90 billion euro emergency EU loan for Kiev. I'm going to read you Zelensky's threat in my Zelensky voice. Otherwise, we will give the address of this person to our armed forces, to our guys, so that they call him and communicate with him in their own language, Zelensky said. He doesn't even name Orban, right? He doesn't name Orban. but he's going to give Orban's address to his armed forces. Orban's address is 110 Budapest Street, Budapest, Hungary. Go get him. Zelensky's such a clown. Such a clown. So Peter Szijjártó, the foreign minister of Hungary, said, "This is beyond every limit. This is Ukraine. This is the kind of culture coming from Kiev. And this is the man Brussels admires and the country they want fast track into the European Union. Siarto wrote on X, "No one can blackmail us just because we refuse to pay the price of Ukraine's war and refuse to accept higher energy prices because of Ukraine," Siarto added. They better get the Druzhba oil pipeline up and running, because Hungary, Slovakia, all of Europe is going to need whatever energy they can get their hands on, given the situation that is unfolding in the Middle East. So that's the threat coming from Le Gobelin Vert, or as Trump calls him, P.T. Barnum, the P.T. Barnum of Ukraine, Zelensky, threatening Orban. So if he doesn't get the money, if Ukraine does not get this loan by April, then there is no more money for Ukraine to do anything. No more money for its military, no more money to run the government, to pay the salaries, nothing left. So Zelensky is in an absolute panic to get that money. And if Zelensky cannot secure the $90 billion loan, plus 10% for the big guy, then he's going to have some very angry oligarchs and government officials who are waiting on that money. Banderites, military officials, they're going to be very upset with Le Gobelin Vert if he doesn't deliver the 90 billion euros. There's a lot of washing machine spinning action that is dependent on this 90 billion. So Hungary, the Hungarian authorities, they busted some sort of a money laundering scam. Seven Ukrainians were arrested in Hungary, and allegedly they were transferring, one second, let me find it here. They were transferring or trying to transport $80 million and 9 kilos of gold from Austria to Ukraine. From a bank in Hungary to Austria and ultimately to Ukraine, and they were arrested. They were busted. The foreign minister of Ukraine was very upset about this arrest. Very upset. Yeah, he said that Hungary is taking these Ukrainian citizens as hostage or something like that in a message that he posted on X. I wonder where that money was heading towards. 80 million and a whole lot of gold. So let's move on from Zelensky, I guess, and go to, how about Stunning and Brave? She had a meeting of EU foreign ministers so that they can discuss the war in the Middle East. And then she spoke to reporters, and Kaya Kallas, she said that what can be done in order to help the Gulf states deal with the drone attacks from Iran is that they can work with the Ukraine military, because the Ukraine military, they understand how to deal with drones, and they can help. They can help in Iran's, in dealing with Iran's drone strikes. What we see in the Middle East are the same drones that attack Kiev on a daily basis, now also attacking countries in the region. In fact, Ukraine can help the Gulf countries because they have developed effective systems for intercepting and defending against drones. Thus, we can consider how to combine these capabilities to help countries repel drone attacks. That's the essence of our discussion today. It's the essence of our discussion today. Who speaks like that? The essence of our discussion is to help the Gulf countries deal with the drone attacks by utilizing Ukraine's expertise with drones. There was not one reporter there to ask the really important question of Kaya Kallas. Miss Foreign Minister, top diplomat of the European Union, High Representative of Foreign Affairs for the EU. What is a drone? $5. $5 that Kaya Kallas has no idea what is a drone. What is a drone? If I was one of the reporters there listening to the Kallas, I would have asked her that question. What is a drone? Huh, a drone. It's the thing that flies, buzzes around. Anyway, that is stunning and brave. Let's now move on to the war against Iran, the unprovoked, full-scale U.S.-Israel war against Iran. And how about that interview from the Foreign Minister Araghchi to U.S. media, NBC, and the NBC reporter asked Araghchi, are you afraid of a U.S. invasion of your country with ground troops? And Araghchi said, no, we are waiting for them. And the reporter was speechless. He was stunned at the reply from Araghchi. We are waiting for the invasion. We have game planned this all out for decades, he said. And so Malon Lave, bring the invasion on. The reporter was not expecting that, that's for sure. The Washington Post yesterday ran an article with the title, Trump calls on Kurds to aid U.S. effort in Iran, offers support in outreach to Kurdish minority leaders in Iran and neighboring Iraq. The president offered U.S. support to insurgent efforts against Tehran. So that was the Washington Post yesterday. Iran has been absolutely pounding the Kurds in Iraq. I believe they've been really, really hitting the Kurdish military facilities in this area. And then we got an announcement from the Kurds in Iraq that they are not entering and fighting in Iran. Anti-Iran militia Kurds released statement amid buzz over extending support to U.S. So should we believe this statement from the Kurds? Trump, he is saying that he is now not leaning towards a Kurdish incursion into Iran. He actually said that it is a waste of time. Trump stated that Iran has no navy, they have no military, they have no missiles, they have no government officials, they have nothing, he said. The only thing that they have to fight with is, I believe he said, our guts, courage, guts, something along those lines. That was Trump's statement. But now he is saying that for the moment, he's not going to go with some sort of Kurd incursion. Should we believe Trump? Should we believe the statement from the Kurds? Should we believe the statement from Trump? Is this more Trump trickery, more Trump deception? Araghchi says Iran is ready, and they should remain ready. Just because Trump says it's a waste of time, a Kurd invasion, just because the Kurds are now saying, nah, they're not going to invade. I don't know if you should believe it, if Iran should believe it. Azerbaijan has said that they're not going to get involved in the conflict in Iran. Aliyev announced that Azerbaijan will not take part in any operations against Iran. Yeah, Iran pounded the Kurdish headquarters in Iraq. We have a lot of video and images coming out on social media showing the Kurdish headquarters in Iraq up in flames. Iran is also smashing. Yesterday they smashed Bahrain, Kuwait. I believe they hit a U.S. military base in Kuwait. A lot of images there of that military base up in flames, completely destroyed. So they hit Bahrain, they're smashing Bahrain, they're smashing Kuwait. They continue to hit UAE, to hit Dubai. They were smashing Israel as well. Hezbollah was also hitting Israel, though we're not able to get many images of what is happening in Israel, but at least from the Iranian side of things and various reports that do manage to get something out of Israel, you do get a little bit of news out of Israel as to what is happening. Tough to verify, but the reports are that there were a lot of missiles and drones hitting all over Israel. And Pete Hegseth yesterday and General Kane, they said that Iran's capabilities have drastically diminished from day one up to day four or five. They went through the numbers from day one all the way up to day four or five. Iran has been firing less and less and less, and Kane and Hegseth went through the numbers. But yesterday it seems like they were firing a whole lot of stuff all over the place, and they were hitting targets. That's the way it looks. So the Pentagon is now looking for money. According to the Wall Street Journal, Pentagon races to secure money for Iran operations, munitions, officials explore requests to Congress and push defense contractors to accelerate production of critical missiles and other weapons. So it looks like it's the United States, the Pentagon, that is running low on weapons. $1 trillion budget, and they're having to go to Congress to ask for more money so that they can ramp up production of more weapons because they are running out. Their Gulf allies, they have maybe a day or two of air defense and interceptors left. They are severely depleted, all of the Gulf partner states. I also read a report saying that Dubai has food problems. I can't confirm this, but if they don't get something sorted out very soon, Dubai's going to have food shortages. At least that's what this report says, in the next couple of weeks. Pete Hegseth, he put out a statement yesterday talking about how the Trump administration is creating the greater North America. That is what Trump is really doing. That's the 10D chess from the Trump administration. He's creating greater North America. It's a new map, according to Hegseth, a strategic map from Greenland to the Gulf of America. We call this map the Greater North America. quick, pivot to Greenland. Pivot to Greenland. That's an easy one. That's an easy victory, Greenland. Let's talk about that now. So Politico, they interviewed U.S. President Trump. And which way should we go? Let's cross. Let's cross the street. So Politico interviewed the U.S. president, and Trump, they say Trump is unleashed That was how Politico described this interview with Trump and the statements that he made. Trump unleashed. Trump said that he is going to pick the leader of Iran. He's going to be the one that chooses leader. He said that people are loving the war that is unfolding in Iran. People are loving it. And he also said that Cuba is next. And he is frustrated with Zelensky. Putin wants a deal. He believes Putin is ready for some sort of a deal. But the Green Goblin continues to frustrate him. But he believes he is going to get a deal in Ukraine very soon. That was Trump's interview with Politico. Trump says he'll pick Iran's leader, predicts regime change in Cuba. The president told Politico that Cuba's going to fall, revealed his growing frustration with Ukraine, and discussed the uncertain search for a new leader of Iran. Trump told Politico, people are loving what's happening in Iran. And he said, Cuba is next. And now he's creating the greater North America. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Trump, I like it. People love it. They love it. So I posted on X, the man who complains nonstop about rigged 2020 elections is now openly talking about choosing the person to run a country that he is currently bombing on behalf of another country. I find it very, very odd that Trump talks about choosing the next leader of Iran as he bombs Iran on behalf of Israel. Very odd that Trump's the guy talking about choosing a leader for Iran. I thought Trump was all about bringing democracy to Iran, protecting the protesters and the people of Iran and bringing democracy to Iran. Now he's talking about choosing the leader. I'm going to choose the leader. I get to choose. So the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, they are saying that they are going to stop investments into the United States because they've been so beaten up from this conflict that they don't want to invest money or any additional money into the United States. Saudi Arabia, UAE, Kuwait, Qatar discussing withdrawing from contracts with the U.S. According to the Financial Times, they want to cancel future investments commitments in the U.S. to alleviate some of the economic strain imposed upon them by the Iran war.
Can you? Yes.
So because they're getting beaten up so bad, they're now telling Trump, you know what? We're going to stop investing money in the U.S. And Trump was bragging about the $14 trillion that he's bringing into the U.S. through tariffs and investments. A trillion from Saudi Arabia, 500 billion from Qatar, 2 trillion from UAE, or whatever numbers he was throwing out there, right? He was throwing out all of these huge numbers about all the investment that he's bringing in from the Gulf countries. It looks like that is about to evaporate. Well, this is the Gulf countries basically signaling to Trump, either you wind this thing down because it's not going as you told us it was going to go, or we're going to start pulling out our money. You see, Trump promised the Gulf countries, the Trump White House, They made a promise very similar to what the Biden White House made to the Europeans. The Biden White House told the Europeans, we're going to collapse the Russian economy. We'll get this war going in Ukraine. Then we'll place all of these sanctions on Russia. And in 3 months, Putin will be removed. And then we'll be able to enter Russia and plunder and pillage to our heart's delight. That was the plan. And the Europeans, they got on board. Don't worry about the short-term pain, a month or two of pain from this conflict. But once we collapse Russia, it will be all good. And so that was the pitch. That was the plan made by the Biden White House. The Europeans were all on board, and Trump pretty much said the same thing. I would guess that he said the same thing to the Gulf nations, because the Gulf nations, they knew that this was going to happen. There's no doubt about it that they knew, that we knew, all of us knew, that that the Trump administration was going to attack Iran. So you have to imagine that Trump told the Gulf nations, we're going to end this thing within a weekend. We'll take out Khamenei. Iran will collapse. Nothing to worry about. Do not worry, Dubai. Don't worry. The damage, the economic damage, will be minimal. In 2-3 days, come Monday, we'll start on Friday. Come Monday, Iran will be under new management, and I get to choose the leader. Now the Gulf nations, they're seeing that Iran is not collapsing, that the government is not falling apart, and they're getting nervous because they are taking a big hit militarily and also their economies. So there's this prominent UAE billionaire, Khalaf Ahmed Al-Habour, who published an open letter to Trump. He said, who gave you the authority to drag our region into war with Iran? Who gave you permission to turn our region into a battlefield? Al-Habour's a major figure, billionaire, former diplomat, outspoken political voice in the Gulf. When he talks, UAE leadership is listening. I would say that UAE leadership told him to put out this letter, no doubt about it. Publish this letter. We need to send a message to Trump that this thing needs to end. The UAE is going to take a big hit. A very, very big hit. Dubai is built on the premise that it's safe and secure, and all the expats can come and relocate in Dubai. Live a very peaceful, safe, prosperous life. And all of that has now been completely shattered. So Besant is preparing for a trip to... Oh, there's a lot of music over there, and I want to walk to the castle. He's preparing for a trip to China. And he has a big ask of China as he prepares for this trip. Take a guess what Besant is going to pitch to China. Take a wild guess. You will never believe it. Besant is going to ask China to stop purchasing Russian oil. That's going to be what he asks China. Stop purchasing Russian oil and buy American oil. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This Besant guy. Let's see what the Wall Street Journal is saying here. U.S. has a big ask for China buy less oil from Russia, more from America. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent weighs pushing the tricky trade off along with other economic goals prior to the Trump Xi summit. So much music around. This is going to be a tough video to edit. Let's see how I'll do it. So as the United States works to dismantle BRICS, to destroy China as a peer competitor, they're going to now go to China and ask them to do them a solid, do us a favor, and stop purchasing Russian oil. As they pretend to be the neutral mediator with Russia, and as they pretend to want some sort of rapprochement with Russia, they are going to go to China and tell China to stop buying Russian oil and buy American oil. The whole thing is crazy. Bessent probably was thinking that Iran will have collapsed by now. Or maybe he's still betting on Iran's collapse by April. He's supposed to go to China in April with Trump. And you have to imagine that they're probably approaching this from the standpoint of, you know, once we take Iran off the table, then we can go to Xi and we can start putting some pressure on Xi, who will have some leverage on China, and we can start to break apart China and Russia. That's probably their game plan, if I had to take a guess. So there's still time. There's still time until April, if China actually agrees to this meeting. But we have a few more weeks until Trump goes to China to meet with Xi. And they're betting on Iran collapsing. And they're betting on Trump choosing the leader. And then they can sit down with Xi and they can dictate terms. These are the kinds of things that go through Trump's head, I'm telling you. But there's time. They have 2-3 weeks to try and get it done. I said in my video update yesterday that India is buying Russian oil because of the energy crunch. India has started to ramp up their purchase of Russian oil, completely expected. But Bessent is now presenting this as the Trump administration is allowing India to purchase Russian oil and to refine Russian oil. Bessent posted on X, "President Trump's energy agenda has resulted in oil and gas production reaching the highest levels ever recorded to enable oil to keep flowing into the global market. The Treasury Department is issuing a temporary 30-day waiver to allow Indian refiners to purchase Russian oil. This deliberately short-term measure will not provide significant financial benefit to the Russian government, as it only authorizes transactions involving oil already stranded at sea." Well, it's good to know that the United States is going to allow India to purchase Russian oil. You got to imagine that a post like this from Bessent is going to piss off Modi. It's going to upset India. The fact that the U.S. Treasury Secretary is saying that we will allow you, India, because you're not a sovereign country. You're not allowed to make your own decisions. But because of everything that's unfolding in the Middle East, which is our doing, we'll allow you for 30 days to purchase and refine Russian oil, but only 30 days. How gracious of Bessent. When did India say that they're going to stop purchasing Russian oil, by the way? The United States and Trump. Trump has said that India is going to stop purchasing Russian oil, but India has never issued a statement. I don't think the Modi administration has issued one statement claiming that they're going to stop purchasing Russian oil. I don't think they've ever said anything of the such. Maybe some of the state refineries have said that they're going to scale back or scale down their refining, their purchasing of Russian oil. But I don't remember Modi ever saying, yeah, we're done buying Russian oil because we want to be buddies with Trump. Nope. So now you have Besant saying that they're going to allow India to refine, purchase Russian oil. And he's saying that because he's trying to get ahead of the reports, which are saying that India continues to buy Russian oil. They never stopped buying Russian oil. But now they're buying Russian oil, and they're buying a whole lot more Russian oil because of the conflict and the energy shock created by the United States in their unprovoked, full-scale attack against Iran. What a mess. What a freaking mess, man. So let's do some more news items, and we can get to our clown world. Let's start with this New York Times article, which says Trump follows his gut. His national security advisors try to keep up. Decisions come fast, even if contradictions and inconsistencies abound. But without much of a process, there is little preparation for how things can go wrong. There's little preparation for how things can go wrong. Okay. We don't really think about how things can go wrong. We just make decisions based on feelings. Nothing more than feelings. More than a feeling. That's how Trump is making his foreign policy decisions, according to the New York Times, if you want to believe the New York Times. But actually, even Caroline Leavitt, I talked about this yesterday, even Caroline Leavitt, she said that Trump makes his decisions, or at least the decision about going to war with Iran, based on his feelings. That is what Leavitt said. He based the war against Iran based on his feelings. And so now the New York Times is running a story saying that Trump makes decisions, makes them fast, could be inconsistent, could be kind of out there, but they're based on his gut feelings. So according to the Telegraph, Mertz, when he was meeting with Trump at the White House, he came to the conclusion that Iran should not be protected by international law. German Chancellor positions himself as Trump's closest European ally in condemning Tehran. BlackRock Mertz, international law should not apply to Tehran. As if international law was working in Iran's favor. What is international law anymore, anyway? What exactly is international law at this point in time? Is there any international law anymore? But international law actually states that sanctions are illegal. Sanctions within the UN Security Council, if they're approved by the UNSC, then yes, you can place sanctions on a country. But unilateral sanctions, for the most part, are considered illegal under international law, if you believe such a thing exists. And there are many people who do believe such a thing exists and that we need international law. But international law has not been working for Iran. If it was working for Iran, then the U.S. sanctions against Iran would be condemned. So that's Mertz talking about international law. Iran protected, should not be protected anymore. Okay, Mertz. When was Iran protected by international law? I would say it's the opposite. So, an update on the Minab Elementary School strike. According to various reports, the strike into this school, which killed 170 schoolgirls, was actually a double tap. Many reports claim that this was a double tap strike. So that's the first update. And the second update is actually coming from the New York Times. And according to their investigation of what went down in Manab, more music. Let's go down this way. According to the NYT, and the investigation has not been completed, but they've looked at everything, and they say that most likely, their conclusion is that most likely this was a U.S. strike, not a Iranian missile misfire, which the New York Times debunks. Not even an Israeli strike, but a U.S. strike is what the New York Times is suggesting. Analysis suggests school was hit amid U.S. strikes on Iranian naval base. The February 28th school strike in Manab, which killed dozens, including children, appears to have been part of an attack on an adjacent naval base in southern Iran, where officials said U.S. forces were operating. That's the New York Times conclusion, at least from the data they have seen. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap today's video up. A couple of clown worlds. Let's start things off with Estonia. They really know how to pick their politicians in Estonia. I'm telling you, Estonian foreign minister, North Korea and China among Putin's friends, next in line to be removed. As reported by Estonian public broadcaster ERR, Tsakhna, who is the foreign minister of Estonia, said that among the allies of Kremlin ruler Vladimir Putin, some are either already in heaven or in hell, likely in hell. North Korea remains, let's say, China too, maybe a few others, but generally, the point of this narrative, without any joking, is that Putin's authority is falling apart, he said. Estonia, a diplomacy, political power, the political diplomacy powerhouse of Estonia. Stunning and brave, and now this guy. So that's the claim that China, North Korea, you're next, according to the Estonian foreign minister. Did you guys catch the prayers for Trump? He had a bunch of pastors in the Oval Office, and they all surrounded Trump in the center of it, and they were all saying a prayer for the U.S. president in these times of war. Very interesting imagery from the White House. One of those pastors was the person who Trump has appointed as his religious advisor. I'm not sure what her exact title is, but she was present at this White House Oval Office prayer session. And there's a video of her mumbling some stuff. I don't even know what she was getting at. But I guess she's hyped up about this conflict that is taking place, this war that is unfolding in the Middle East. And she went off saying some weird gibberish, talking some gibberish or bumbling. Not even sure what she was getting at, but anyway, I'm sure You've all seen that video.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory.
And finally, we have Time Magazine, who posted an image of MAGA hats for their cover, but these MAGA hats are actually all of the wars that Trump has started, not the wars that Trump has ended, but the wars that Trump has started. Make Iran great again, make Venezuela great again, make Nigeria great again, make Syria great again. Make Iraq great again, and on and on. Make Ecuador, I believe it says there, great again. Make Yemen great again. So Trump's in trouble. He's in big time trouble. We've gone from Nobel Peace Prize, I've ended 8 wars, to now Trump starting 8 wars. That's the new narrative. And that's the video. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. And Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. Check us out on Substack. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.